standing for the reading of the Gospel today.
The Gospel reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 1. This can be found on page 968 in the Church Bibles. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of their righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Do please be seated. Can I just add my welcome to those of Derek, to those of you particularly that are fairly new to our congregation. It's great to have you worshipping with us. And we won't be gathered here next week because the remembrance service will be a parish-wide service at the parish church. So there will be no 10 o'clock here next week. So shall we have a moment's quiet and then I'll pray. Heavenly Father, as we open the scriptures together this morning, may my words be your words, and may you speak clearly to us through them. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. So All Saints' Day was on the 1st of November. The Catholic Church particularly celebrate All Souls' Day, when they commemorate the faithful departed. And on All Saints' Day, which we're translating, if that's the right word, to today, we pay tribute to all those Christian saints and martyrs, remembering, of course, that not all saints were martyrs and not all martyrs were saints. So bearing that in mind and how easily we can misuse words, what makes a saint? Well, one day a man was walking through a beautiful church with his four-year-old son. As they walked, the boy looked around. He looked at the beautiful stained glass windows with their coloured glass and asked, "Who are all those people in the windows, Daddy?" "They are saints," said the father. "What are saints, Daddy?" the boy questioned. The father was rather stuck as to how to explain to the four-year-old what a saint was. As he was wondering, the boy was still looking up at the windows and he suddenly shouted out, "I know who the saints are, Daddy. They are the people the light shines through," which is probably a very apt description. And I'm pretty sure that for a long time, I thought of saints as simply the gospel writers or people like St. Augustine. And some of those that we will be singing about later when we sing for all the saints are famous, but many, many are unsung. They are all, as that young lad put it with such clear imagery, those who've lived a life of humility and service, and by doing so have revealed God to others. They are the blessed ones described in the Sermon on the Mount, of which our gospel reading this morning was a part. It is, let's be clear, All Saints' Day, A-double-L, and it's that small word, all, which I think speaks to us from our Old Testament reading this morning, So if you want to follow the Isaiah reading, it's page 742 in your Bibles. But first, we need to just understand the context of this part of Isaiah's prophecy. Chapter 56 is the seventh and final part of Isaiah's vision, which occurs in that period following the arrival in Israel of the first exiles returning from Babylon. It was a period of high expectations and considerable difficulties. There were tensions between those returning and those, including foreigners, who'd been living in the land in the meantime. To put it rather irreverently, it's a bit like the situation I had at work when we were setting up the organisation. You only had to come back from a quick comfort break, and because there were more people than desks, you suddenly find your desk was occupied, even though you'd only be gone 5 minutes. And tension was an understatement to describe that, I can tell you. So that community in Israel was living in the in-between times. Things were not as they used to be, but the new age had only just begun to dawn. Similar to our own times, really, isn't it? Where we're between the first and second coming of Christ. A difficult time, as Paul described it in his letter to the Romans. But we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So tensions can develop during those times and some fall away. That can happen during the church interregnum, for example. Isaiah, therefore, addresses that situation and provides what I've seen described as a kind of charter for a restored community. So we're going to have a brief look now at the guidance which it provides. And the overriding message is all are welcome. Inclusivity is more than just the flavour of the month. So what does all mean? How does Jesus exemplify it? And what does it mean for us? What does all mean? As I confessed earlier, we often tend to think of a saint as being someone who's particularly holy, a person who's been canonized, like Cardinal Newman was recently. All of which is quite right, but it's also a term used more widely in the New Testament to apply to believers in general. Paul, for example, opened his letter to the Philippians to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. So all Christians, in every age, regardless of nationality, language, or culture, are members of the communion of saints. If we believe in Jesus, we are children of God and members of that community. But that might still mean we think of ourselves, the temptation sometimes, perhaps like the Jews did way back then, as being perhaps special. And that would be exclusivity, not inclusivity. God isn't cutting anyone out in his words to Isaiah, although there are conditions. They must keep the Sabbath and not desecrate it. That day was not an end in itself, but a mark of love for God and loyalty to the covenant with him. Sabbath rest was a sign of the final rest which all God's people will enjoy in the new heaven and the new earth. God is inviting the most unexpected people to draw close to him in worship. In this case, eunuchs and foreigners, definitely outsiders in that society. But God isn't interested in labels or categories. He's interested in attitude, and his mercy is for all. On that basis, all are welcome. So how does Jesus exemplify this? Fundamentally, Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise given in Isaiah chapter 56. And it was with the coming of Jesus that the real inclusion of the outcasts, of the disadvantaged, began, because Jesus was concerned for all those people. Take an example. At the incident for the cleansing of the temple in Matthew, Jesus actually quotes verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 56. He says, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The trade in the temple courtyard was denying the Gentiles even the limited access which they were allowed. And Jesus was not pleased. And in John chapter 10, Jesus shows his concern for the outsider. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And wouldn't that be just amazing if everyone was in that flock with Jesus as the shepherd? And thinking of the story of Philip and the eunuch in Acts, it surely can't be unimportant that the eunuch was reading from Isaiah chapter 53. Through that scripture, Philip could explain things to him. How can anyone deny the importance of the Old Testament in God's story? So thirdly, what does all this mean for us? We are children of God if we come to Jesus. We are heading for a heavenly home, although we can't quite imagine what that would be like. What we do know is that if we know our identity as children of God and as saints, we will seek to live better lives, aiming to be more like Jesus. And the longer we are children of God, the closer we will grow to God and be more like him with our walk through Jesus Christ. I think if we honestly look at ourselves, as we get older, we often see more of our parents in us, even if we try to deny it. It would be good, wouldn't it, if we could also see more of Jesus in ourselves. We cannot become like God unless we see him, and we cannot see him unless we are pure in heart. As goes that hymn which we will be singing shortly, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see our God. The secret of the Lord is theirs, their soul is Christ's abode." And that echoes the Beatitudes which David read to us in Matthew. Why would God show mercy to us all, including you and me? Basically, we receive God's mercy so we can share it with others. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, explains, if Paul's language is explanatory, you just have to listen carefully. "Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive God's mercy as a result of God's mercy to you." So what does this mean for the church? If we are not careful, we can, probably subconsciously, be exclusive as a church and not include people for various dubious reasons. If we look at the first two verses of this chapter this morning, they are concerned with justice and doing what is right. And once again, that word "all" comes in, because justice and righteousness are a communal issue. It's all about members of that community, how they treat each other, how they treat other people outside the community. Therefore, it's a personal responsibility as well as a communal one. It's for everyone. It's not just for the church leaders. And the church should be like the society being addressed in Israel's, in Isaiah's vision, that it should be an open community embracing all who give themselves to the Lord. That's what the Lord is saying through Isaiah, and that's what he should be saying to us too, or we should be listening to what he's saying to us. In other words, all are welcome. The church shouldn't be how some might view it. Just a couple of two-liners giving a slightly light-hearted, different slant on it. Sometimes people think of the church as being like a giant helicopter. They don't want to get too close in case they get sucked into the rotors. Well, we all know we want people on rotors, don't we? And to some, church is like a baseball bat. For most of the time, it plays a nice little game with their friends. Then once a year, they go out into the high street and hit someone over the head with it. Enough said, that we do want to be evangelists more than once a year or once whenever. We want to do it wherever we are all the time. I've sung that song, "When the Saints Go Marching In," many times, but I don't think I was actually familiar, as one is with these things, very familiar with all the words. And some of these, I think, sum up where we are right now and what we've been thinking about over the past few minutes. They go, we are travelling in the footsteps of those who have gone before, and we will all be reunited on a new and sunlit shore. Oh, when the saints go marching in, Lord, how I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. It goes on, but I'm waiting for that morning when the new world is revealed. Oh, when the new world is revealed, how I want to be in that number when the new world is revealed. So how can we be in that number? Well, all really are welcome. We can all be saints. That is made possible by Jesus' death for us on the cross and his resurrection to new life. Through that momentous event, God's love comes to us and through us can reach out to others to build a world in which everyone is understood to be a child of God, to be of that one flock with Jesus as the shepherd. That would be just brilliant. So let's take a moment's quiet now, just to remember and give thanks, not only for those that have gone before us, but also that we are children of God and fellow members of the communion of saints. One big family, not only gathered here this morning, but also spread far and wide. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that in your great mercy you have given us hope for the future and the promise of eternal life by raising your Son, Jesus Christ, from death. As we remember today all those saints who have gone before us with that hope, we ask that you will help us to recognize those areas of our lives where we have gone astray and not obeyed you. And so let us go forward now into this new week with hope of the resurrection life and the kingdom of heaven before us. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.